You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Well, I am so very excited about today. As Pastor said, there has been so many things that have happened this week, but you know what? In light of what God desires, that's there is just merely ants and gnats, little minuscule things in his presence and under what he desires to have done and set on today. So all I can keep saying here, my Lord, you know, take my hands, Lord, my feet, touch my heart. Father, speak through me this morning. So, Father, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you increase in this place, that this flesh of Tracy not be glorified, but that you would be glorified. And every word that you desire to be spoken will be spoken in spirit and in truth. And when it is all said and done, Lord God, may we all be brought from glory to glory, to a greater understanding. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. 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 Well, as Pastor said, we have been on a series called Outbreak, and it started the week of Resurrection Sunday. We had talked about it, Pastor Fred, Pastor Donna. We had been talking about that because every year when it comes to Resurrection Sunday, it's like that's the big day, the big push. We are so excited about that day. But we forget that that day was just the remembering of the beginning, because 50 days later, when they were in that upper room, the Holy Spirit fell. And when the Holy Spirit fell, change happened. Things happened. They went out that day, and 3,000 were added on to them on that day. People were able to hear the gospel in their own dialect, in their own language. So there is something important. There is something to be said about the Holy Spirit and what he can do. It's something important to be taught about Outbreak. Our desire is as we continue on these next few weeks, that by the time we get to June 8th, that the Spirit of the Lord will be so thick. There will be such a hunger and a thirst inside of you that is pulling and tugging on the Spirit, just like the woman with the issue of blood who was bleeding for all those years. When she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, virtue came out. I want us to be pressed in so much that when we get to that day, we will have an experience like that upper room. That really, if you don't know that, that is really part of our prayer and our heart's desire with this Outbreak series. Well, when the Outbreak series started, I'm going to do a recap before I get into the word this morning. Pastor started us off with the mystery revealed. And we realized that the mystery revealed, or the word mystery, actually meant secret, because inside of Jesus was a secret that others didn't know, that from the beginning that God meant that all would be saved. And by grace, both Jew and Gentile alike would be able to be saved. So grace was for all, and it was for free. And that God desired and designed that all of us would be able to come into a saving knowledge, that all of us would have the ability to draw close to him. Then on the second week, he spoke of the mystery identity. That if any man be in Christ, guess what? He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That was when he talked about that. He says that we get to a point that it's not about that I don't have to, but I get to. I don't just get to, but I want to live for him. And that's a part of our mystery identity. And then Pastor Fred brought us into the contagion of the blessing. And on the first week, he talked about, with the contagion of the blessing, he spoke of a definition of blessing. He took us back to the beginning, and we're going to do that today as well, because it's something to be said about the law of first. The law of first says the first time a word is mentioned, you should go back and read and know why it was said that way, what it meant, because it's probably going to have a thread throughout. And we learned that the blessing was about being activated, because God desired that we be fruitful and multiply and that we would have dominion and subdue the earth. That was part of his desire. And the second week, last week, he talked about the contagion. He talked to us about the definition, that it's about us being infectious, that we are to be carriers and not barriers, that we are supposed to be able to not resist what God is doing, but we're supposed to go with that. And with that, we get to be up front, up close and up front with the Lord. So we've learned through Pastor Rich that we have grace. And because of grace, we can be saved. It's a gift of God that he loved us so much that he gave us his only son. And from Pastor Fred, we've learned as well that there's a blessing in that. And that there's something that's supposed to be infectious, because this outbreak needs to spread. And we've learned also through a word that a virus that's inactive is not infectious. It can do no harm, no damage. It's just there. Maybe a virus, but it's not serving its function because it is inactive. And today, I get the opportunity to share with you another part of it. Because grace is important. Grace was for a reason. God sent his son to die for a reason, so that we can be in right relationship. See, redemption was to restore relationships. And we want to be redeemed, but at times, we've missed out that restoration of relationship. And we are going to talk about that on this morning. And my job by the end of this service on today is that you have a greater understanding of the word that we're about to talk about. I'm going to tell you there are things that might be said between this week and next week that might make you feel uncomfortable. The enemy might come in and want you to get offended, but this word is not to offend you. This word is to challenge you. I want you to be uncomfortable when you hear this word. I want you to contemplate and think. It's not a message that makes you feel good. It's a message that helps you to get to the greater good of what the sacrifice was all about. So are we agree? I'm just putting this disclaimer out there. Okay, it's out there. Everybody knows you, Miss Tracy, I'm very loving. And I am. However, they have given me the big guns. As far as this, Pastor Rich and Pastor Fred gave me the big guns. So I have prayed and I've asked the Lord, I'm coming out blazing. So get ready. That's all I'm going to say. All right. We are going to be talking about, let's actually go to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Get some foundational things out. We know that it's the will of God that all would be saved, that none would be lost, and all would be saved. Therefore, he gave us grace. We know it's the will of God that we would be blessed and we would be fruitful and we would multiply, because after all, that's what he created us for. But I wonder if you know what 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. But the first part of that verse, go back, just three, we just want three. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification is also the will of God. It's not suggestive. It's not an option. But it is the will of God. So if you accept the will of God that you should be saved, and you accept the will of God that you should be blessed, then you must also accept the will of God for your sanctification. So with that being said, what does sanctification mean? Set aside and apart for God. I heard someone say that. What else? Set aside, apart for God. Sanctification means? Huh? Make pure. Anyone else? Holy, exactly. Holy is a part of sanctification. Okay. That's what we're here today. The title of my message is, what? That is the title of my message. I couldn't think of anything more creative, because guess what? We are called to be sanctified. And before we leave today, I want you to have a greater understanding of what sanctification means. It said that we're called to be separate for God. Okay? And that's true. And also holy and pure. But we're going to go just a little bit deeper and make it a little bit more clear. Because some of the things that I have seen within the church is, number one, that it's, let's just put it this way. When we come into church, we want to see everybody dressed a particular way. We don't want to see stuff falling out, being revealed. We don't want to see any of that because we're like, oh, my God, they just came in there like that. We want to see, and we strive, and we make comments, and we talk about, because we want to see the attributes of sanctification without sanctification. We want a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We want to see everybody tucked in, nothing too tight, nothing sagging, the right language, the right. We want to see all of that, but without the process. And the reason why we're going to define it, because just as I was falling asleep last night, the Lord said we're getting the definition of sanctification within the church confused with the attribute, what we can attribute to sanctification. See, the definition of a word is the real meaning of it, what it stands for, what its purpose. But an attribute, now to say an attribute, that's a noun, and that's the character of something. But to attribute is the same, spelt the same word, same way, but it's a verb. And to attribute to something is to say that that is the cause of why that is. So in church, we want to see the cause. We want to see what sanctification brings. We want to see it without the process of sanctification happening. So we got to get a definition, a true definition of what sanctification is. And yes, in its general term, to be sanctified does, in fact, mean to be separate, to be set apart. It does mean that. But you know what? Some of you may not realize, but, okay, you have on eyeglasses, right? And you're using your eyeglasses to see, correct? So if I told you that his eyeglasses were sanctified, what would you say? Huh? You said no? It's not? Okay. Okay. All right. If I told you that, all right, that's the eyeglass. Okay, not that yet. We won't use that yet. Let me think. So you said eyeglasses are sanctified. Okay, pen. If I told you this pen right here, if I took this book from Miss Janet, sorry, Miss Janet, we always dropping your stuff, and I started writing with this pen, that this pen is now sanctified, what would you say to me? You say, no way? No way. Okay? You got it? Okay. Okay, there we go. And you say, no way, no way. You say yes, you say no. You're saying that the eyeglasses that Brother Chris has on that are used for seeing is not sanctified. And the pen, when I began to write with it, is not sanctified. Okay, now, if we break down the definition, to be sanctified is to, let me go back. The person who created the eyeglasses, what did they create the eyeglasses for? Are you seeing, Brother Chris? What did they create the pen for? Does it write? Okay, so then the creator created something for a specific purpose, and when it is used in the purpose for which it is created for, it is then what? So for all intents and purposes of the general definition, Brother Chris's eyeglasses are sanctified because he is using these eyeglasses that he has on his eye for what they were created for, what they were designed for, just as Miss Janet's pen. Now, this pen right here, it can also be used as a weapon. Does anyone want to see if it can be? But but you're going to take my word for it. And when this pen is used as a weapon, it's not being used for what it was created for, what it was set apart for. This pen is not a pencil. Although you can write with a pencil, what's inside of the pencil and what's inside of the pen is two different things. Is that not correct? Okay. Now, when I came in this morning, I had an instrument with me. And then I had it in the back. And then when we came toward the front, Miss Kim was holding this instrument. This, what is this? Okay. Now, do we all know what a bat is used for? It's used to what? It's used to hit a ball. That's what it's designed for by its creator, correct? Now, why is it, though, that when I walked in, people were pulling Miss Kim aside to ask her, you brought armor bearing to a whole nother level. Because this, which was designed by the creator to hit a ball, when you saw it, it brought another meaning that this now had become a weapon. We see things a lot of times contrary to what the creator created something for. What we see it as maybe is what it's been being used as. Not what it was designed for, but what it has been used as. No one said, Miss Kim, where are your grandkids? Are you going to play T-ball or baseball after? Nobody thought that. You just automatically thought it was a weapon. And you thought she was walking with some power. Not knowing that the bat, she just was carrying it for me for this illustration. And when all of that happened, now see, that was, y'all gave me that. Y'all need to give yourselves a hand. You gave me that. I didn't even have that in my mind before I came up here. But when everybody started seeing this bat as a weapon instead of what it was truly designed for, I was like, my God, how we take what sanctification is and we twist it. And we turn it around. See, in Leviticus, I'm going to keep giving words because once I get the word, we're going to be rolling. In Leviticus 11:44, it says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God says, I am the Lord your God. I'm going to read it again. You shall therefore consecrate or dedicate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. In the beginning, God said to us that when he created us, we've been reading this throughout this whole year, that when we were created in his image and his likeness. So therefore it makes sense. God's not crazy. He's not expecting anything different than what he created when he says for us to be holy as he is holy. Can we agree? Because in the beginning he said he created us in his image and his likeness. Therefore, it is reasonable with our logical thinking to see that God has a right to expect us to be holy as he is holy if we've been created in his image and likeness. We all agree on that? All right, let's move to 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. Now, the beginning of this is talking about grace and the things that God has done when Peter was writing this letter. And it's interesting in the beginning of this letter that he sends out, that he also says that he's sending it to people that are sanctified in the Spirit. But in 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's what Pastor talked about. "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Be holy, for I am holy. Now, I thought to myself, when we said to be sanctified, and the first thing we said is to be separated apart for God. But it's not just, quote unquote, for God. And I'm going to explain what I mean that by that. You are set apart so that you can fulfill the function for which you were created for. It's not just by God. Now, keep in mind, I gave you the examples of the eyeglasses and the pen, but throughout the Old Testament, there are various things that are sanctified or made holy because they are set apart. Like a firstborn son could be set apart. In addition to a firstborn son, there's a portion of a field that they set apart. They set apart certain days of the year in order for holy or holiday, because those days were set apart for a purpose or reason. The Aaron and his sons were set apart for a purpose and a reason to be able to be sanctified and holy. The things that were in the temple were set apart for a purpose. Everything first had to have a purpose, then it was set apart for that purpose. And when we were in the garden and we were set apart to be in relationship with God, in communion with God, and to be in his presence. And when sin entered in, it caused us to be separated from God. It caused another separation. But that separation was not for what God had created us for. It was for sin. It was for the establishment that sin might be produced in more. And that's why God said, I have to remove you out of this garden because I can't have this sin living on. And then at that point, he also said, and I'm going to give you this point, and this is something I want you to file in your head because I'm going to bring back this to you. When he was talking to the enemy, he told him that he was going to put enmity between the seed and that that seed was going to bruise the head of the enemy and that the enemy would bruise his heel. So I want you to keep that in mind. Now, when I talked about sanctification also, let me give you, because I like just to give the interesting words. The Greek word for sanctification is, and if I'm saying this wrong, please correct me, honey, hagomos, somebody mos. Starts with an A and ends with mos. There you go. Okay. And that word means holiness. So again, when we said holy, of course, to sanctify also means to make holy. And another word for a holy person in Greek is called hagios, which means a saint. We are supposed to be saints. Contrary to popular belief, you do not have to wait to die. A group of cardinals and people get together to decide whether or not you will be canonized, and then you will become Saint so-and-so. You are considered a saint now. It's not after, but it's now. All right, and that's the Greek word. But the Hebrew word is kadash. It sounds K-A-D-A-S-H, but it's actually, the K is actually a Q. Q-A-D-A-S-H. And I had them bring this board up for me because something interesting that I found that with the, in the Hebrew language, originally it was pictorial, meaning that they showed different pictures as to what things meant. And this is what the pictorial looked like for sanctify or holy. And this is what, and you're like, this means holy. This is a pictorial. Can you see it? Okay. You still can't see it? Okay. But I'm going to tell you what it is. The pictorial of it, and then in the Hebrew, they don't read like we read from left to right. They read from right to left. And when you saw these different things, you had to know what they stood for. So I'm going to tell you, this first thing that's a stick with a circle, this picture represented to them that something is the back of a head. It's behind. And it also represented the horizon, that something is on the horizon or ahead, or that things are going down. This triangle in the middle, it would have represented the opening door or flap to a tent, because they met in tents. So this represented the door of a tent. And this jagged that looks like a W, it actually represented teeth. So the first part of the word talks about things being behind. And then if we go over to this way with the teeth, you, in order to, you, when you leave things behind, you cause a separation so that a door can be opened to you. Sanctification is about us leaving things behind so that we can become separate, so that a door can be opened to you. Now, a door serves two purposes. A door can take you out from some place, and that same door brings you in to some place. And sanctification is about us being brought out from sin and brought in to new life. We're supposed to be brought in, but what happens is most of us stand at the doorway and we are holding up the frames of the door, because we fully haven't left anything, the stuff behind us, and we are not going ahead and walking into that which is holy, which we have been called to be set apart for. So we stand right there in the door, and we don't go forward. And God is saying to us that, yes, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is what has saved you. It is what's going to keep you. My blessings are there for you. But a part of my blessing is that you would not continue to contend with sin alone, that you would not be of sin. And God wants us to be at a particular place right now where we recognize that we need to be holy, that we need to be set apart for what he originally designed and created us for. But a lot of times we fail to do that. And one of the reasons why we fail to do that is because we want God to love us just the way we are, and then we want him to leave us that way. But God loves us the way we are, and he refuses to leave us the way we are because he loves us. He wants us to be right back in right standing with him. But our desire is not that. We want a padded cross. We want redemption without restoration. Someone said that we have diminished the call of when we go out and evangelize and tell people. We have reduced salvation down because people just want a savior to save them from hell. We want to be saved from hell. We don't want a savior that saves us from sin. That's not what we desire. And as a result of that, we think salvation is, I just make a decision, I say, yes, I got my ticket in, and then I do no more. We have been deceived too long. And that deception has got to stop today. It's got to stop now. Because you've been saved by grace for a purpose, because God desires to have relationship with you. He desires you to be in his presence. And if you're not holy, then you cannot be in his presence. In the chapter before, in Leviticus 11 and Leviticus 10, two of Aaron's sons get burnt up. They get burnt up because they were given instructions of what to do, and they decided that they were going to light their stick. It's another word for it, but I call it a stick thingy. But they decided that they were going to light this, and they were not supposed to do that. And in doing that, they were consumed. Now, Aaron was about to get hot. He was about to get really upset with God. But then Moses said something to him, and you guys don't have this, and you don't have to pull it up. But in Leviticus, let me go to it, 10, Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. When we talk about this outbreak, what are we breaking out? What are we spreading? See, because we spend a lot of time being affected by this world. We are influenced by this world and what this world has to offer. How this world thinks, we think. How the world dresses, we dress. What the world does, we do exactly what the world does. So what we are instead increasing is not what God's design is for our fellow brothers and sisters. What we are, in fact, spreading is what the enemy's intent and design is, that we would be lost, we would be in sin, and that we would be doing all sorts of things, and this flesh would be glorified. See, Satan had a problem with the spirit, our spirit being joined with God. So he didn't come for the spirit. He came so that he would remove us from the spirit and that we'd be dominated by this flesh. And we have yet to realize that's what he's been doing. So every time we engage in things that are of the flesh, we are bringing glory to him. And we are saying that I am of my Father. And your Father in that point, when you're doing things of the flesh, is not God. Because if we worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus, so much so, desired that we be sanctified, that in one of his last prayers, he prayed for our sanctification. Go to John 17. Now, before we begin reading that, I told you to put this on hold. And something that the Lord has really been mulling over in my spirit, and I'm going to prove it by this verse, but that he's been mulling over, is like we always hear, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was good. God was God. And then we go over to John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, the Word of God. But something that God said, showed me, was that it was the Word of God, but a specific word. When he said that his seed would bruise his head, and it says also in one of 1 John's, it says, for this reason was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Jesus himself was set apart for a purpose. Not just set apart of God, he was God, but he was set apart for a purpose. Let's read John 17. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I'm going to say the word of multiple times. Of is a preposition. Okay? That word of is to derive from, I'm of the clan of Martin. That means from Martin I am. Okay? So if I read this again, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not no longer from the world or of the world in their thinking, in their and what they do, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Many times within the church also, when it comes to sanctification, remember when I talked about we get the attributes or what we attribute things to mixed up with the definition? We can determine if a person is holy if they don't go to a club. If they don't hang around certain people. Now, don't think that I'm condoning clubs, so I'm going to get to that in a minute. But you think that you can't go to certain places because that place somehow is going to diminish your holiness. Basically, what you're saying is that I'm going to be affected by what happens there because I'm not strong enough to not deal with it. What affects me is this flesh. My spirit is not leading me. Really, when you tell me you can't go to play, I'm walking after the flesh. I can't go in there. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus was with the prostitutes. Jesus with those that people, the lepers, those that were unclean, he walked among them and with them. Matter of fact, he went to them. So clearly it cannot mean when he says, when we're talking about being separate, because a part of sanctification, I've heard people say that we're supposed to be separate from the things of the world. It's about our position physically. But we have yet to discover that sanctification is about your position spiritually. It's about your position spiritually. So let me continue reading. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Jesus prayed for you that you would be sanctified by the truth, which is the word. That the truth and the word would change you. The truth and the word would sanctify you and cause you to be separate and to come out from where you are and to go into where he is. He desired that. He prayed that for you. He prayed that for me. He says, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. This is Jesus. Jesus himself is our example of sanctification. For this reason was the Son of God made manifest. For this purpose was he set apart. For this reason that he thought it not robbery being equal to God, humbled himself for that reason, for that purpose. He came onto planet Earth to fulfill the purpose for which God created him on Earth to be able to do. He followed the Creator's design to do what the Creator needed to get done. It says, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also. Also means that they may be sanctified, that they may be set apart for which you designed them for, Father, by your truth. So sanctification is about purpose, but it's not just about anybody's purpose. It's about God's purpose. And when I said earlier that a lot of times we want to see the attributes of sanctification, we sometimes, it's a two-sided coin. Those of us that have not realized that our temples are the Lord's and we dress in various ways, we may get offended when individuals come to us and they say, you know, you might want, not might, it would be good to cover up because you are exposing and letting other people see. You get all worked up, been out of shape. Just take me as I am. God knows. We got that side of the coin. It's my style. It's my style. This is how I want to look. This is how I. So I already know where you at. That's number one. Now, on the other side of the coin, we have the individuals that are going to these people, and they're not concerned about their sanctification more than they're concerned about what it looks like. Because if you were concerned about their sanctification, you spend time to disciple them so they come to know the truth. You love them through the process. You wouldn't assume that they're dressing that way because they're being defiant. Maybe they don't have nothing to get nothing else. Or maybe they haven't been taught. Maybe they don't know. So there's two sides of that coin. Those that's all about I is my style. See, but when you get saved, the I goes away. We live not for our glory, but for his glory. And that's the problem. We don't want God to be glorified. We just want to be free. What did I say, Lord? We don't want God to be glorified. We just want to be free. That's it. We don't want him to be glorified. Too many times, we fail to be unified Because everybody is an island and tired of themselves. Everybody will have their own kingdom. Salvation brings us into one kingdom. But we got a whole lot of anarchy rising up. And a whole lot of people wanting their way and their kingdom and how they want things to happen and how they want things to be. See, when we are of this world too, where's our designers? Where are our designers? Because the last time I checked, when I look in the Old Testament, the Lord know how to clothe his priests. They had jewels. They looked lovely. They were fresh. Okay, there you go. They were royal. They were beautiful. And we don't have to be looking all mully grub, no makeup, everybody looks like they just woke up or sackcloth. That's not what God called us to. He wants us all to be beautiful. But where are the designers that hear from the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you this. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid themselves, they realized they were naked, they went and got twigs and leaves. But God killed an animal and clothed them. Their choice of clothing and God's choice of clothing was two different things. Two different things. And we do that today. God's choice and our choice is not always the same. But if we're saved by grace and we want to be contagious in the blessing and we want to break out, we want his way to break out. See, because it was his blood. Guess what? The contagion is in the blood. Our salvation is in the blood. But when you do contrary that to what's in the blood, you cause a mutation. You cause a mutation. You cause a whole nother other different strand of something that looks like God, talks like God, but it's not God. It sounds like the same scripture to me that, you know, you want the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We want something that looks like it's salvation, looks like it's sanctification, looks like it's grace, looks like it's a blessing, but it's not. And we have been accepting it for far too long. And it's got to stop. Salvation requires a response on our part, not just the response that, yes, I'm in, but is he in you? See, redemption is when you say, Christ, come in. But sanctification was when you say, let it, you be all in. And you dwell within me. You teach me how to talk. You teach me how to walk. We want to keep our independence. We want it to be all about us. You can't be saved and it be all about you. I am so sorry. If no one ever told you that, I need to tell you that today. You can't be saved and it be all about you. You can't. It's got to be about him. You can't be saved and it be your way. It's got to be Yahweh, his way. You got to realize that you are set apart to go to be what you were originally designed for. So if you are doing some of the things that y'all are doing, could you do them up in the garden and stay? How you treating your wife, your husband, your kids, who you sleeping with, staying with, how you talking to people? Could you do that and stay up in the garden? If you can do what you're doing right now, and in your mind you're like, I am not changing, that's just who I am, and stay up in the garden, you're not holy as he is holy. And his grace is keeping you from what happened to two Aaron's sons getting burnt up. Jesus is on the cross interceding. But God, I came down. Remember, I prayed. I sanctified myself so that they too would be sanctified by the truth. Lord, their ears are opening. Holy Spirit, bring back to their remembrance. Counsel them. Let them know they're doing the wrong thing. That's what's happening. And a lot of us have our fingers in our ears saying, la, 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 la. What is that Frank Sinatra song? I'm doing it my way. Burger King even picked up on it. Have it your way. No Burger Kings in sanctification. Doesn't exist. And we have, when we shift our minds as to what sanctification, that first of all, sanctification is tied to salvation. It's tied, it's intertwined with the blessing. Because God, something else I read that I thought was interesting, when the reason why we say yes because we want to be saved from hell is because us in our finite mind, we're afraid of the punishment. How many people when they were younger was trying to get out of whoopings? How many people went, well, if any of you know what this is, a switch. When you were told to go get a switch and you brought a little switch back, then you had to go get back another switch and they multiplied the switches and they had to braid them up and then they beat you to the, I mean, okay, coming on back. But you know what that is. So we are afraid of the punishment. And so sometimes we say yes because of the punishment. But God isn't looking at the punishment. He's looking at what happens, what you lose as a lack of sin, the glory to be revealed in each of you. He's concerned about the glory that needs to be revealed in each and every one of you. Because he already took care of the punishment. But we keep looking back. And sometimes with this walk with Christ, I'm going to tell you a quick trap what the enemy does. He makes you look back and see, well, you haven't come that far. He keeps you looking back so that you'll never go ahead. But if this pictorial of holiness or sanctification shows the back of the head, I understand more why Paul says, I forget that which is behind me and I press on. See, only thing I want to remember in behind me was what God has done for me, not what I've done or what I've fallen short of. And the other part of it is sometimes when you remember what's behind you, you start wanting that because right now you're hurting a little bit. It hurts to be holy. It hurts to say no. It hurts to walk away when you get that feeling. It hurts. But if you focus on the hurt and not on the glory that's to come, you'll never see that glory come. And as I close on this morning, the last example that the Lord gave me, and you're probably like, okay, we got sanctification down, but all I got is just to keep sharing it in multiple ways, because one of you will get it in one way, another you'll get in another. We have got to get this down because we're not living holy. We're not. And we make every excuse in the book as to why we can't live holy. It's too hard. I'll do it tomorrow. We don't think about that. What we're really saying is, God, I want you, but I don't want to be that close. But the point of Christ was so that we could be close, and yet we still stay away. And don't deceive yourself that your yes and your distance is going to work for you when you stand before him. Why do you think he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity? I never knew you, because you weren't close. You said yes, and that's it. You did no more. The last example that the Lord gave me in regard to sanctification, I don't know if you know, but in Isaiah, don't remember which verse it is, but I probably can look it up and tell you, where in Isaiah it talks about, well, let me tell you what it is. You don't have to look it up. But in Isaiah 54:5, it says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. The point thing I want to point out is, for your maker is your husband. Then if I go forward now into Ephesians 5, 22 and 26, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the house, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Another example of what it is to be sanctified or set about part for a purpose. I was born into this world on August 7th, 1970, at something in the afternoon. And my name was Tracy Priscilla Austin. That's what I was born into. That's how I was born into the world. Several years later, I met this wonderful man. Yes, I did. I didn't expect to meet him when I met him. I thought I'd meet him later, but I met him earlier. So I'm not one to tell God, I'm not ready for your gift. Bring it back, because it might not come back. I took it while I had a chance. Amen? Okay. So fast forward now to September 12, 1990. And on that day, I married Richard Martin. Richard A. Allen Martin. Okay, that's who I married. And on that day, I was no longer single. I was no longer available. I let my name go. I was no longer known as Tracy Austin. From that day until this day, I am known as Tracy Martin. You see, if we compare this analogy now to the Father, and he's considered, or to the Lord, and he's considered our husband, when we say yes to him, we are no longer making ourselves available for other things going on in the world. We are making ourselves available to him. See, the word of God says, my own husband. This is my own husband. That means I can't go out and sample other people's. That don't work. That doesn't work. And see, we can understand it in a marriage relationship. We be ready to cut people and do things because of unfaithfulness in marriage. And we be ready to tell people, he was unfaithful, leave him, girl. She was unfaithful, leave him, man. But we do that every day to God. We are unfaithful. See, when I got married, my name changed. I'm no longer of the house of Austin. I'm of the house of Martin. And when I got saved, I'm no longer of the house of the world. I am of the house of God. So the house of God, if I'm of that house, then I'll do what that house does. I'll follow the house rules. I can't bring other rules into this house because I'm of the house of God. When you got saved, you became of the house of God. You are no longer of the house of this, that, and that. You can't bring your stuff. If your stuff don't fit, can't stay. It can't stay. To be sanctified is to be set apart for a purpose. And not only to go even deeper. It's not that just I got a new name and then I changed what I was of. My purpose was to be this man's wife. And what that as a wife entails is to be a helpmate. See, I had a purpose in what I was set apart for. And it was to be his wife. And all that it means to be wife. But how many people you know that sometimes they get married for this? They get married for the money. And they try to get married to some people that's old because they'll go fast. And you can keep the money. Keep the money, honey. But you know what? When you marry for this, even though you can have all the bling bling and all the cars and all the this and all the that, but in relationship, marriage is about relationship. It's about connecting. So if you get married for all the wrong reasons, you're going to have a problem. I thank God, Pastor, and I was young, so I didn't get married for the money. You have money. You are an amazing provider, and I thank you. I thank you. He was an amazing provider. But it was for relationship with him, to become one with him, to grow with him, to go with him. And sometimes we get married for all the wrong reasons as well when it comes to God. Or we get connected with him because we want the blessing without the relationship. We want the money and the benefits without the relationship. And I'm here to tell you today that God said those marriages are null and void. And you have a decision to make today. Do you need to say, I do again? With a full understanding of what you are saying, I do too. You are saying, I will follow your word. I will remember that you reside in me. So I will do what you ask me to do. I will act the way you want me to act. I will dress accordingly. My dress is to please you and not the men. My attraction is for you. That sanctification must come before we get the rest of it. Because I don't want all of you to look good and be jacked up on the inside. I don't want that. Because I want the power of God to fall in this place. I want the power of God to fall in your homes, in your neighborhood, in your schools, because you are in right relation for God. You have been set aside for a purpose, that what you were designed and created for, that you would have dominion over what? Over what? But you have to have that dominion over sin first. And when we would praise and worship God, a lot of times we see that the praise team or whoever is just up there, and you think, why do they always get on this? I don't know. I was thinking about this as I was worshiping the Lord. Because I was thinking, Lord, if they know that they were set aside for a purpose, what you originally designed them for, and your word says that I will get praise, and if the people that I designed to praise me won't praise me, then the rocks will cry out. Then that said to me, okay, Lord, when we come into this place, we that are sanctified, that we are set apart for your original design and purpose, then we must come in with praise and worship. It's not the musicians or the singers. They lead us, but we are all worshipers. That's part of our design. And when you don't worship God, that's a part of your design that's dormant. You are ineffective. You are devalued. Everybody knows the diamonds. They love the diamonds. They want the jewels. It has great value. But if that diamond is just used for a doorstop, it's just lost its value in the eyes of those that see it. It's changed it. So as we close, I know I gave so many examples. I pray that you had understanding and that there is no confusion. We're going to get into the hows and get into some of the more deeper things, but I can't go ahead until I get this straight with each and every one of us. You are called to be separate and set apart for what God designed you for. That's how come, when I even gave the analogy of the marriage, that's how come those of you who are not married, when you are with people, you are outside of God's design. You are operating as a man's wife and you are not their wife. So you have really no benefits of it. You are devaluing who you are. You do belong to somebody. You're not alone. God needs you to get today that it's not just being separate away from the world, because you're going to remain in this world, but it's being separated so that you can be a part of his original design. That's what sanctification is about. It's about being separated for what the Creator created you for. And each one of you have distinct purposes and things that you do, and talents. So don't mistake your talents and your gifts with what you were created for. You were created to be in his presence. You were created to be in fellowship with God. That's what you you were created for. And that's the grace that he loved you so much. He loved me so much that he sent his son so that relationship can be restored. That's the blessing that I get to be what God created me to be. I get to come out from darkness into his marvelous light. I get to come out from sin by grace. I get to come out. I get to walk through a door. Salvation is a door that God, in the midst of your mess, God created a door and said, there's a way out. But this door leads to me. It just doesn't lead out. Some of you just want to get out. But God says it's not just about getting out. It's about coming in. Coming into my presence. Coming into me. Coming to where I am.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.